My Ross is an area in the north side of Limerick City, which was built in the early 70s by the local corporation. While the houses were of very good quality when first built, those involved in constructing the area went on to make the same mistake as was made in the building of South Hill, a housing estate in the south side of Limerick City. That mistake was not putting in place plans for amenities, a shop, a church, a community centre, a school and a health centre. These are all so important in a large built-up area like My Ross. All those amenities are now in place and very much in use, and this due to a lot of hard work on the part of residents, management and Limerick Corporation, who have worked together over the past 20 years to achieve this. This programme is going to examine some of the strategies that have been put in place to aid the development of this strong community. Over the next half an hour, I will be speaking with representatives of various projects that are the forefront of this community. I first talked to Mr. Michael Kelly, Liaison Officer with Limerick Corporation.
My job as Community Liaison Officer really is to link with the residents, between the residents and Limerick City Council. And it's to create a kind of a brokership so that people will know who to go to and I can direct them in what department or whatever. Today, for building, you know, big estates like My Ross doesn't seem to be there, you know, that day seems to be that we're more into building smaller units of maybe 20, 30 houses, 40 houses in an area instead of building 1,000 houses. And as you said, we're very little, going back to the 80s, 70s, 80s, we're very little facilities in place, the church and the school and one shop. Now, My Ross is made up, as you know, of 11 parks, Cosgrove, College, so on, Pineview, Delmage, and we formed a residence group in each park, okay? And out of that residence group, then they nominated a person from their residence group to go on what we would call the forum. You might like to know what the forum is. The forum in My Ross mainly is made up of each one representative from each park, so that we have 11 representatives on the forum, plus ourselves, which is the City Council, the Guards, the Health Board, and other agencies that are working in My Ross. And we would meet once a month in My Ross to discuss issues, mostly environmental issues, how to improve, ways to go forward, what is happening within these states, what can the City Council do, what can the Health Board do, the Guards do to help to bring that forward, help to support, help to make the area better. Now, it's one of the few estates in the country, housing estates, that has coverage of CCTV cameras on a 24-hour basis. And that was mainly came originally back in 1996 when we refurbished a number of houses at Castle Park. And there was a request at that time to know could we do something to help and support young families that were going in there. And that was mentioned at the forum, and the forum made representations to the City Council to see if they get funding for such an issue and program. And it started with one camera, and we eventually went on to two cameras, and there's now 6 or 7 cameras full-time in My Ross on the estate itself, working cameras on the street, what we would call street cameras, which are basically on the street and to monitor. And I think that it has a huge positive effect on the area itself. So, you know, how did it affect it? Had you anything problems with it? Actually, the very opposite is people from other areas, adjoining areas to My Ross, are now seeking to get the cameras in the area because they see the positive side that it can have in an area and the improvement of it. And it's, you know, it's very hard to say exactly in terms of, you know, like you've all figured that so many people or as a percentage or whatever, but I can definitely say over the number of years that there has been a definite improvement, and I only can judge that by people's comments on it and what's happening in the street. People feel happier living within the area and they feel more secure, and I think that a lot of that is down to the extra monitoring, and also I suppose there's been extra guard activity or whatever, but I think the support with the forum that we're giving and the working together of ourselves and the community, that is a vital link there.
How can they change the image?
It's really a perception, you know, we've had a number of groups from the forum coming to us from Kilkenny, Carlow, Offaly, Dublin, all over the country, and their perception of My Ross is what they see on television.
Correct.
And I had one here who from Kilkenny last week, and they said, God, this is not what we had in our picture, in our mind. They thought the houses were fabulous, the greens were clean, they went to the community centre, they went to the My Ross Bays, the My Ross Development Company Bays, I thought the structures were fantastic. Within my Ross department group, the community centre, how they ran their operation up there with the playground and so on. And I think that's, you know, that the community will have to kind of, with the negative, you have to present the positive. And
definitely.
And while it's not easy, as I say, you know, bad news always, always prints ink and paper, takes ink to paper.
Alain Slattery, manager of the probation office in Myross, had this to say.
Came or Came is what the project is known as. It's a probation and welfare programme funded by the Probation and Welfare Services. It's a programme for young offenders, youth at risk, early school leavers and unemployed, varying from the ages during the day of 15 to 25, male and female, and in the evening programme 12 to 17-year-olds. The 12 to 17-year-olds in the evening can actually come from early school leavers, those that are in school but require support to remain in school, or the juvenile liaison system. The day programme that we run in Came or Came can consist of different areas that would include accreditation from FETAC, Foundation and Level 1, the Leaving Certificate Applied. They also do vocational preparation that links them to work experience. Hopefully then that this will progress them onto employment or further third level courses or training. We do a numerous amount of subjects within the programme. They would vary from health-related fitness, craft and design, art and craft ceramics, woodwork, hotel catering and tourism, information technology. We have core skills programme and a life skills programme. These programmes would actually depend on the need of the individual. So if a person has difficulties with alcohol or drug problems, it would be drug and alcohol awareness programmes that we would bring in. If we have a young parent, it would be parenting programmes and various other problems or issues that children may have at different stages in their lives. We would involve those type of programmes to benefit them. We would have many different areas of referral. We'd have referrals, first of all, which is most of our referrals would be from the Probation and Welfare Services. We would have some contacts with the Juvenile Liaison System. The community guardie, we'd have some contacts with homeschool liaison officers in the schools, and we also would have some contacts with the local programmes that go on within the community, as well as youth themselves applying when coming in here. But first and foremost, it would be youth at risk, young offenders and probation and welfare services that would be given priority. What I would say is that we're assisting parents in providing better options for their children. And also, we're acting as a diversionary method from and a different option to the street corner as such. They come in here in the morning. We do have what we would call almost like a familial type structure, in that we offer, in a sense, a type of parental support. We have breakfast with them in the morning. We don't have separate staff rooms. We all eat together. Respect is one of the most important things within the programme. Not only is it respect of the person, but respect of the property that they use. We tend not to have any problems because of the sense of ownership that they have within the programme. When we first started here, furniture, equipment, materials, everything was chosen by the participants themselves. So therefore, they own them, so they respect them.
Of course.
We also have a sanctions policy and codes of conduct that they drew up in conjunction with the staff. So again, they're keeping their word by keeping the rules. So we tend not to have a problem with that either. So the involvement and the ownership of everything within the programme assists in the effective running of the programme. They would be very, very talented in the art and craft section, particularly in ceramics and crafts, and particularly for the males in the woodwork area as well. They're given the option, really, what you could say, to express themselves through a different medium.
Yes.
So they're given the option on a daily basis here with craft ceramics tutor and a craft and design tutor and a woodwork tutor to develop different styles and different creations of their own, as well as some of the work that is obligatory according to whatever programme they're doing, be it FETAC or the Leaving Certificate. And every year then we run a craft and design workshop fair day that they sell their work at, which gives them the option of having extra pocket money for Christmas. And it gives them a sense of pride in the work that they've done as well, that people think that their work is good enough it's valued by other people. A lot of the work that they make as well, they're actually allowed to bring home everything. The only thing that we hold on to for a period of time here would be exam materials until such time as they've been examined. We hold them for the time that's required, and then they're released, and they're all brought home to the family, and you have family members coming back saying that they never knew their children could do things like this. And
but
it's about time,
it,
you know, yeah. that they could actually realise how talented their children are.
I believe you have wonderful cooks here.
We do. We have fantastic cooks here. And they just had their Leaving Certificate Applied specialism task examined last week, and they did quite well. They actually made Christmas cakes for Christmas and sold them in the fair, and did very well. Unfortunately, we had a break-in over Christmas, and they were damaged, so they had to do the task twice. So not only did they had to make 50 more rather than 25 cakes. Again, what I would say... What assists them in doing that themselves, they've done it themselves, but they've been assisted, again, by the ongoing support and the openness and the respect that the staff here give them. They've continuous support that if any particular time the programme, for any reason, is putting pressure on them, or they're under pressure at home, or it may be peer pressure from outside, we alter the programme here to suit them. So if they need... If they need us to back off, we back off. But we also give them continuous support. So to a certain extent, then, they know they have that support and they can come to us at any time for any reason. So that's what keeps them here. So they don't drop out. We've had some of these participants here now 2 and 3 years, and their attendance is perfect.
Had a chat with Martina McInerney, who is manager of the Jobs Club, and asked why this project was set up.
To combat unemployment within the Myros area, we provide training in CVs and interview techniques. We do out their CV, we contact local employers, and we set up interviews. Once they had done the course, that, you know, they had met other people in the same position as themselves that would want to work, would want to change their lives, but just hadn't got the confidence to take the first step. And they'd be kind of more positive at the end of the course to go for the interview, to get the job and to keep the job, you know. On our course, we'd have, the ages would range from 18 to 55, around about that age, and we do tend to mix them. Like, we wouldn't have a course with all 18-year-olds. We tend to mix them so as they can learn from each other. And we also do group work, you know, kind of facilitation, that they kind of bring out an awful lot of their ideas, and it would be discussed in a group type of environment. The courses would last from a week to 2 weeks, depending on the needs of the individuals. And hopefully by the end of the course they would be in a position to go for an interview and to be able to sell themselves, and hopefully to get the job, that they'd know how to present themselves, they'd know what to wear.
What percentage of people go on to get work?
Oh, right. Well, overall we'd say about 40%. We're hitting 50% now. You know,
that's very good.
Yeah, because we do get a lot of people who have been referred by the Department of Social Welfare. They'll come down, they'll register, they'll maybe look at the jobs, but that's it, we won't see them again. And basically it's because the Department of Social Welfare have said, register with the Jobs Club or we're going to cut your dole. There is no kind of motivation there to find a job.
Well, basically just to register with them and see what courses I could do, and hopefully to get another job.
And did you do the course on interviewing and...
I did, yeah.
You did, yeah, and did you enjoy that?
I did, I enjoyed it, found it very interesting.
Did you?
Found Martina very good at her job.
Were you unemployed long, Pauline?
Not really, no. I was on a scheme before I started here, and I had to give it up for health reasons with the kids.
And has Jobs Club helped you to get work?
Well, they've basically given me the skills to go and do interviews to get a job.
You found you got confidence from that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you find interviewing then, with the confidence and the skills, much easier for you?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Following this, I met with Josephine Sheedy, who is education coordinator, and asked her how adult education became established in this area.
With the help of the VEC, with the VEC tutors and the adult education group, we put a programme together that suits the needs of the people living in the area, both social and academic. Over a yearly basis, I'd say roughly anything up to 150. Now, some people are involved both in social and academic classes. Some of our participants attend maybe 3 classes a week. We say between sewing and crafts, cookery, and computers. We're running a childcare program at the moment, level 2, working with children, and we have 10 participants at the moment between the school and the Community Enterprise Centre. Our school program is with the classroom assistants, and the one that we have in the community centre is for the community.
After this, I talk to Juan Carlos Espardi, who is a community development officer in Mayrhos.
Community development is about empowering people to identify their needs and be in a position then to respond to those needs. It doesn't mean that the project has to be the provider for those needs. Actually, people are in a position to actually negotiate for and get resources and funding to actually meet those needs themselves. So in Mayrhos, like I said, there's an awful lot of stuff already happening. Well, the Community Development Network Mayrhos is a community development project. It's part of the Community Development Programme, which has about nearly 200 projects nationwide. And obviously we're here in Mayrhos, and there are another 6 in Limerick City. My own role as project coordinator is purely that, in terms of actually coordinating the work of the project. I suppose I have 2 roles in terms of being responsible to the management committee for the work of the project and the accounting for the funding and how money is spent in terms of the work of the project, but primarily as a community development worker carrying out the work of the project as identified by the management committee. We would put together a 3-year work plan at the start of every 3-year cycle and look at what are the needs in the area and what do we want to look at. The key kind of areas of work that we have looked at over the years and are looking at the moment would be in terms of education, both education disadvantage, early school leaving, access to third level, encouraging kids who are to go on to third level, and seeing that as kind of 2 ends of the same thing, that where you want to prevent young people from dropping out, you also want to give them a motivation for staying on, i.e. that they have the opportunity, the possibility of going on to third level. So that those are 2 areas of the work. We would be very much, as a community development project, see ourselves as a support for the work that's already here and help the groups identify where there are gaps, and again to see where maybe and help groups who might think that they have a role in meeting those gaps, rather than necessarily us as a community development project being the providers of that service. So that's traditionally how and that is what CDPs are meant to do, community development projects. There are a number of staff, along with myself. We have a development worker, Geraldine Clossy. We have a drug awareness worker, Sean Ward. And we also have an editor of the national newsletter for the community development programme, Changing Ireland, which is Alan Marr. Other areas of work that we would look at would be in terms of work with men. We would be involved at the moment with the Paul Partnership around men in Limerick experiencing separation. MILES would be the short for that, MILES. And seeing that there are, and we'd be involved because of there would be a number of men in Mayrhos in that kind of a situation. And there's a whole range of difficulties that they would be experiencing, which they need some help and support around. And MILES would be one of the ways in which they might get some help and support.
Paddy Flannery, manager of the local community, why is it Mayrhos gets so much bad publicity?
It's twofold. I think firstly, the media doesn't expect to get good news stories, good news coming out of areas such as Mayoras. That's the first problem. And I think the second problem is the people of Mayoras haven't got a positive enough image of themselves to actually say the good things they're doing is worth promoting. And amazing good things happen in Mayoras, but you only ever read about the bad things. So when our kids win awards, when our parish win awards, when we do unusual things, we probably negligent in not promoting those. And amazing good things happen in Mayoras, but you only ever read about the bad things. So when our kids win awards, when our parish win awards, when we do unusual things, we probably negligent in not promoting those. The housing strategy that was in place day one when they designed Mayoras and South Hill and all the bigger estates, Ballybeg and Waterford, Killinarden and Tallaght and Dublin, was a disaster. They went for low density, open space housing, but they forgot about the maintenance costs.
Facilities?
Maintenance costs of the open spaces, facilities for shopping, for community development, for creche facilities, all the things that people are demanding now were forgotten about. Mayoras is the same as that. That strategy was a disaster. Having said that, because they weren't there, it gave the community something to aim for.
And work together towards.
And work together towards, exactly. So now we have a very active community centre. We have one of the best social infrastructures anywhere in the country. Community centre, we have the soccer pitches, GA pitch, the park, the playground, all of that. Church, school, recognised across the country as the best to visit. You've already visited the and run them down the bays and you saw the stuff they've got there. Now what we're, and our strategy now is, now that we've got this level, we now need to move to the next level. And what we need to know is we need to bring a commercial development in alongside our social developments. If you go to any town or village in Ireland, you'll see the sports hall and the community centre and the church, and then you'll see shops, pubs, filling stations, places for people to work, eat and live. We need that in Mayoras. And with that in mind, Mayoras Community Centre is well on the way to devising a village centre here in the heart of Mayoras, where we hope to build a community supermarket and small shop units and develop some social housing in an area in the middle that will give a viable commercial heart to Mayoras. And I think it's coming to now where we've reactivated our umbrella group, and one of the objectives of the group is to promote a positive image of Mayoras and to create a positive image of Mayoras in the wider community and also and at local level with the local people. I think, yes, Mayoras people have to take some responsibility for promoting their own area. They have to take ownership, and I think that's what I would have done here. I'm a resident of Mayoras for 28, 29 years. And I've always taken a positive outlook on my community. It is my place where I live, and anything I do benefits me and my family. I think everybody else in Mayoras must take the same attitude. They're using as much as community use any facility, but there is a tendency, you always hear, we have nothing in Mayoras. There is a tendency for people not to expect anything in Mayoras and not to go look for it. And I suppose the old story, faraway cows, if you ever heard it, grow long horns.
That's right.
If it's local to you, it's no good. If you have to travel 20 miles or pay an enormous sum of money, it must be excellent. But there are excellent facilities here within the community. You're looking here in the community centre itself, we have adult education classes. We have a state-of-the-art computer room. We have probably one of the best purpose-built creches in the country here in the centre. And the amount of people out there, despite all our best effort, still would say they don't know what's going on. Now, we go door to door, we send out flyers, we send out newsletters. It's a constant, constant job of promoting and self-promotion. But you have to convince people that, I suppose, we have to be 20% better than anybody else to get 50% of the response, because people don't expect the quality they're getting. And like we have visitors from all over the country. Community groups from all over Ireland come to visit this centre, and they're amazed and dumbfounded by what they see going on here. And local people, if you like, fail sometimes to recognise the value of what they have on their own door. A major commercial development going on the gateway to Mayoras at the Watch House Cross, unheard of 5 years ago. But now you have an investor putting 15 million into that gateway. So we are no longer seen as the lame duck in the area. There's a community here with 1,160 houses, 4,500 people. Those people have buying power, they have money to spend. We need to put the facilities locally so that the money can stay local. And that's our strategy. Our strategy is to try and become somewhat self-sustaining by providing facilities and services that are owned by the community but are being done on a commercial basis. And if we've had 10 years since the centre opened in 92, it's gone on 14 years this year, we've worked on the whole social infrastructure, leading all the time towards a time when we would get the commercial side of it come right as well. And when we can get that balance, it'll probably take us another 5 to 10 years, but we're getting there.
Communities go, this is still a relatively young and not yet completely developed area. However, walking through Myross and seeing for myself the beautifully kept school, the church, the centre and all the different projects, in my opinion, all the hard work that the residents, the staff and Limerick Corporation are putting into this area is paying off, and hopefully this trend will continue.
This programme was recorded and produced at Ward FM Studios, Mary Immaculate College, Limerick. It was researched and recorded by Dolores Hallman.